Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
92.9 Podcast, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
What's going on, Memphis? Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parish on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Grizzlies played last night. Late one. Really late one. Really awesome one. Ja Morant scores 30. The Grizzlies beat the Golden State Warriors in overtime. Again, a rematch of the play-in game in San Francisco. We're going to talk about that on the top of the show. That was just a joy to watch last night, and now I am extremely excited for the game tomorrow against the Miami Heat. Should be an awesome one. Should be a great crowd there. I've talked to a lot of people, and they said they're going. It's going to be an exciting time down there at FedEx Forum tomorrow. At 4:25, we're going to talk to Dan Wolkin like we always do on Friday. He had an interesting story on PGA players playing in a Saudi Arabia tournament. And he has some thoughts on that, so we'll ask him about that as well as the college football slate, which we will also get into at Four Stories at 4:44. We'll talk to Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. He was at Penny Hardaway's presser earlier today. Some interesting things he said there, both about Ja Morant and about his team, which it sounds like he's going to get some players back for this next exhibition.
Yeah.
We think, right? Like,
yeah.
We thought they were all going to be available for the first one, so we think he's going to get some players back in this second exhibition game as well. So we will ask Jeff about that at 5 o'clock, talk a little Grizzlies again, do dinner to go, and get out of here. But let's start with the game last night, Bennett.
Yes. By the way, full disclosure, just because you just set the lineup, I apologize to everyone. I don't have a Dateline preview today. I've been at a daycare Halloween parade, so I didn't have time. GP would be disappointed. I'm sorry, everyone.
Bennett, way to go, man.
I know. We'll try.
You could have at least warned me that I needed a Dateline preview.
I've been hustling and bustling today. Shout out to Miss Brittany's class at Cornerstone. Great Halloween parade. The kids loved it. It was awesome. We had snacks.
Was your kid in costume? Everybody was in costume.
Yeah,
today?
He's the Incredible Hulk. Noah's going to be the Incredible Hulk this year. I don't know if you know, there's a show called Spidey and His Amazing Friends, and it is like sweeping the nation. It is like the biggest kids show going right now.
I thought Bluey was the biggest kids show.
Bluey.
Only because of John. Like, I hear about Bluey all the time.
Bluey's up there too. Bluey is great. Bluey is probably my favorite children's show of all time.
Well, question before we get into Grizzlies.
Yeah, yeah.
What, as an adult, is the best kids show to watch?
Oh, I think it's Bluey.
And why? Like, why? I don't even know the premise of
Bluey. Is an Australian cartoon. It is about a family of dogs.
Is this like a Blue's Clues spinoff?
It's not Blue's. No, it's not Blue's Clues. It's not Blue's Clues. Same network, but not Blue's Clues. Or actually, it's not the same network. Blue's Clues, I think, is Nickelodeon, and Bluey is on Disney. But it's an Australian show, and that's... It's just hard to explain. It's just great. It makes you feel good. It looks cool.
We actually had
a Bluey themed birthday party.
Oh.
When Noah turned one, and we were way ahead of the curve on Bluey. We were watching Bluey before it became the biggest thing going. Now the biggest thing going, Spidey and his amazing friends, and that's why he's the Hulk, because the Hulk is in that show. He's already been Spider-Man before, so we had to switch it up this Halloween.
So you didn't give Noah, right, Noah?
Yeah.
A chance to be anything other than a Disney fan, is what you're telling me, and a Marvel fan, or whatever Spider-Man is.
Yeah,
I'm so
bad
at movies.
I mean, basically, like, I kind of pushed him in a certain direction,
right.
but that's like what every kid's into.
I guess so.
Yeah,
I suppose you're right, but, you know, you take the kid to Disney World as much as you go to Disney World, and it's just inevitable that was going to happen.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of excellent things to watch, how about that Grizzlies game last night?
It was amazing.
It was a great game.
It was a great second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first half was not great basketball.
No, it wasn't. And I was getting ready to make a confession, which is I probably missed more of the third quarter than I should have. So I had some trouble getting the game on at my house, so I had to go to my buddy's house to watch the game. And I was writing, because it's a little bit, if you're not in your comfort zone, it's a little bit of a distraction. I know people might think that's crazy considering you write inside of a basketball arena, but it is. It's a little bit of a distraction. And so I was watching, and immediately after they fell down by 19 in that first quarter, I started writing, uh-oh, this road trip started great. It was the Ja Morant media parade. Ja Morant's so awesome. This team is awesome. Wow, they're great. And then it ends in two stinkers. What happened to the offense? It disappeared. They were the best offensive team in three games. It's gone. What happened to the defense? Wow, they really missed Dylan Brooks more than I thought. And then Ja Morant starts scoring in the middle of that third quarter. This is as the Packers and Cardinals game is coming to a close. And so I think a lot of people probably missed some of that. I probably was not the only one. And I looked up and saw, holy crap, it's a 5-point game here. I better hit delete on this game story and start writing about something else, because this did not turn into the blowout that I think a lot of us probably anticipated it becoming when they were down by 19. It's just, this is what the Grizzlies did last year too. Like, they just don't have a lot of quit in this team. If they fall behind, and especially when you fall behind a team like Golden State, I have a tweet that probably aged really poorly that said, this is not the team you want to fall behind by 19 to. It's hard to catch up. But to their credit, and this was not just the Ja Morant show last night, it was not, as much as he is going to be celebrated today, as he should be, this was an amazing defensive effort in the second half to hold Steph Curry scoreless in the fourth quarter and overtime. That just doesn't happen, right?
No.
You talk about outlier performances. It just doesn't happen often that you're going to be able to do that. Yeah, he missed some shots that maybe he would have made, but that's just how it goes. The Grizzlies missed a million shots on Wednesday night against the Trailblazers. So they deserved this one, and it was just a really exciting game down the stretch, and it was awesome to see Ja hit the big three. There's so many plays that we could go back and just replay in your head and say that's the defining moment, but none of them. It was a collection of all of it together.
I think my favorite moment was probably the three, just because he stood there, you know, like a statue.
Oh, he held the hand up.
Like, it was just such a FU moment. I loved it. It is kind of interesting. Like, the Warriors are obviously one of the best teams in the NBA, and I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the NBA. I'm starting to wonder if there's a bit of a New Orleans. You know how it is with the Grizzlies and the Pelicans? Like,
right.
The Pelicans are not a very good basketball team, but every time they play the Grizzlies, they beat them. Like, it's just a terrible matchup. I'm starting to wonder if this is a really bad matchup for the Warriors.
It's not a good matchup, that's for sure. You have the right guys to play against them.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan is obviously a great defender, and they probably would have had him on Steph. I mean, it just depends on how Wiggins is playing at the time, but you might have put him on Steph. But I think D'Anthony did an awesome job last night. He came up with two huge blocks, and the last one was a swat of Draymond Green, and what a shame that was to watch Draymond immediately blow up and start complaining about the block, which was entirely clean, which was that was very predictable in the moment. But he finishes with 7 points, and I think he had the second biggest impact on the game last night outside of Ja because those two blocks were so huge at the end of the game. And it just goes to show the Grizzlies can win in different ways. We've talked about this. This was a discussion. It was a good point that Chris Harrington made in his game story after the Warriors clunker, which is not every night you're going to get awesome Ja Morant. And some nights, awesome Ja Morant isn't going to be enough to win basketball games. It wasn't in the Lakers game. You got to have people going with him. I just thought it was really encouraging that Ja recognized that in the third quarter. He had a great quote after the game. I asked him, I said, did you feel like you needed to wake your team up from that slump? Because in the between the second half of the Portland game and the first half of this Golden State game last night, 4 quarters of basketball, I think the Grizzlies had like 84 points, if I'm remembering correctly. Just terrible on offense. Couldn't get anything to fall. And you could see Ja recognized that and immediately started getting into attack mode a lot quicker. I thought he did a lot better job when they were blitzing these ball screens and trying to double team him at the top of the key. He moved early. He got the ball out of his hands early to his teammates, which was smart. And then once everybody else started making plays, it opened him up, opened up the lanes at the end of the game. And obviously we see him with the spinning finish to, you know, give them the 3-point lead that eventually held on to win. No scoring in like the last minute of that game too. That was also interesting.
And super surprising. Let's just be honest. Like just how this defense has been playing so far early in the season to see them lock down like that. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was great. And again, just to go back to these plays, the play that will maybe be the least appreciated of all of the plays last night, and maybe not even noticed by a lot of people, was the foul that Kyle Anderson took in the final minute of that game. I think it was Damian Lee was driving to the basket with a wide open layup to give the Warriors the lead. And Kyle Anderson rotates over. It was a missed assignment on defense by somebody. And fouls. Chris Harrington tweeted out a video of this morning. Fouls, but fouls so quickly that he gets the foul on the floor instead of a shooting foul and immediately starts telling the official, I fouled him on the floor. He wasn't shooting yet. He wasn't shooting yet. The next possession ends up in Andre Iguodala either getting blocked or missing a shot. I can't remember. That might have been D'Anthony or Kyle Anderson's block on him. And it changed the game. So even the plays that you didn't notice, the Grizzlies did all of the little things right in that second half and especially in that overtime to get the win. All in all, just really, really encouraging. That was a game that a lot of us had as a scheduled loss, right?
Yeah. And you mentioned Kyle, like, it was awesome to see him have a game like that because we were talking about the bench yesterday, and while you're still not really getting, like, the scoring off the bench, when you get that 8 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, like, that makes up for it, you know?
Like, for sure.
Like, that is what you need coming off your bench, and so hopefully he can, like, keep that going because if he's not, you know, he had a nice He had a really nice 3-point shooting year last season. I don't know if that's something that's necessarily attainable for Kyle Anderson, but if he gives you that off the bench, like, dude, come on.
And they have needed it off the bench badly.
Yeah.
And they haven't had any production in that area the last few games. And so to be able to get him in the lineup, you know, I wrote about Ja this morning because how can you not write about Ja Morant? I loved what he said, and I regret not making it a bigger deal than I did before the start of the season, which is when I asked him about really badly wanting to be an all-star. And we read the piece from Chris Haynes yesterday, Yahoo Sports, who interviewed him, and basically Ja Morant found a way to be offended by all of his national attention. which I is just so Ja Morant. It's perfect. I think that's why people in Memphis love him so much, is he's got this huge chip on his shoulder. And we saw Penny talk about it today. We might be able to play that for you at Four Stories at 444. But it's not just that. Well, going back to that moment before the season, I asked him about being an all-star, and he didn't want to just come out and say, I mean, this is before he had put in any, averaged 35 points, scored 40 against the Lakers. This is before he had any play on the floor to back it up. He didn't really want to say anything about being an all-star. He wanted to talk about his team winning. And when he was walking away, he said, S, you want to be an all-star, you got to get your team to win games. Like, he was almost offended by the question. And I didn't really write much about it at the time. It's not just that he's putting these performances together. That's not it. It's that he's putting these performances together, which is helping the Grizzlies win basketball games. And it's not rocket science to figure out that when Ja plays well, the Grizzlies play well. But it's not necessarily always the case that an all-star player is truly helping his team win in the ways that Ja is. We had four players last year who were all-stars that didn't get their teams into the playoffs, right? So,
yeah.
And Ja, you could make the argument, is better than all of those guys. Maybe not as accomplished as any of those guys, but right now, a better player than like a Sabonis,
right,
to say. Bradley Beal, his team did make the playoffs, but there were three others. And the two things right now are pairing so well together. It's not just that he's playing well. It's that he's playing a way that affects the game and is really helping the Grizzlies and not just his personal stat line. And it's different for a guy like Ja than it is for Giannis, for example, who can dominate on the defensive end because he's so huge and can dominate the glass, or LeBron, who can dominate both sides of the ball. Ja's just not physically built to do something like that. So what he has to do to compensate is be so great offensively and get his teammates involved. And what we've seen so far is the Grizzlies' starting lineup, their starting five players. So that's Ja, Desmond Bane, De'Anthony Melton, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams, has been far and away the most effective team or lineup, period, starting lineup or any other lineup for any team in the NBA through five games. They have a average, I guess, point differential of plus 32.3 points. They're 32.3 points better than any other, or than the average lineup through 100 possessions, which is crazy, right?
Yes.
They have been unstoppable as a unit. You see them go to these smaller lineups, and you're right. It felt like they were a bad matchup for the Warriors last night. Another thing that was interesting, we would say Jaren didn't have a great game last night, but when he was on the floor, the Grizzlies were way more effective than he was.
Yeah, I thought about it a lot last night, especially watching him, because I know he's been a big topic of conversation because of the contract and because he's kind of come out a little slow, like, out of the gate. I think with Jaren, he's going to be a frustrating player.
Absolutely.
To watch in his career with the Grizzlies, because he's going to have those games where the shot's not falling and, you know, he gets a couple early fouls and he gets taken out of the game, basically. But it's worth it when you have efforts like that, because when it's really clicking with him, he's like unguardable. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you'll take the good with the bad with the good, because the good is like what we saw last night. This team is really, really hard to guard when he's playing at a high level, because bigs just, I mean, you can't put a guard on him, and there's not a lot of bigs that can guard the guy when he's playing at a high level.
And again, it's not all about stats, right? Like, he didn't blow anybody away last night with his play. I mean, he played better than he did in the Portland game, for sure, but he didn't blow anybody away with the way that he played. And he makes such a big difference purely for spacing purposes for Ja Morant.
Yeah.
To have more room to work. And yeah, I mean, it's just great to see that not only are the Grizzlies winning, they come back from this road trip at 2-2, which feels like a massive win. We asked before this road trip started, would you take 1-3?
I said yes.
Most people said no, though.
Yeah.
Like, there was good faith in this team coming back with at least two wins. And after that Portland game, it didn't look very good. We both were not
right.
The most optimistic people going into the game last night, to be fair. And here they are. They keep winning. And not only are they winning, their best player is making a national statement that he is a legitimate all-star. And dare I say it right now, through five games, an MVP candidate. I would love to see if Ja has a big game against Miami, and that's going to be a really, really tough matchup. If the fans go back to the MVP chance.
It's a big opportunity tomorrow night, and they're coming off a second night of a back-to-back. They're playing Charlotte tonight, so that's going to be a good game.
Yeah,
you would think Miami's got to show up tonight and have a good effort to win. And so you hope that coming off second night of a back-to-back, that they're going to be a little bit slower and that you can take advantage of that.
Yes. The Grizzlies, I saw on ESPN's, I think, BPI, are projected to be the favorites against Miami. That surprise you at all?
No, because it's a home game for the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies are starting to – you're seeing it, dude. Like, the love fest is starting to happen around the country a little bit.
Yeah, they were being talked about on NBA TV. Ja was a subject on the show with Skip and Shannon. The name of the show is escaping me right now.
First things first. Isn't that it? First things first? I don't know.
Something like that. And then he was a topic on ESPN earlier today. So it's just been a joy to watch this team through the first five games of the regular season. I cannot wait for tomorrow. I'm expecting a big crowd. I've heard from a lot of people that want to go. I'm interested if anybody wants to tweet at me. I want to know how many fans out there watched this road trip and then decided, oh, I got to go to the game on Saturday. I'm getting some tickets.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's got to be people out there.
Yeah, I got people asking me for tickets. Yeah.
So I want to hear from them. Maybe I'll write something about it if I hear from enough people. But, man, that was fun last night. I can't wait for tomorrow. All right, when we come back, we'll be joined by Dan Wolkin of USA Today. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
Dan, how are you? I saw over at USA Today you have a recent column about PGA golfers going over to Saudi Arabia to play in tournaments for large amounts of money. Can you tell us why that might be a problem?
Well, based on some of the feedback, it's not a problem for some people. It's a huge problem for me, and I wish it was a huge problem for people like Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, who seem to not want to talk about it whenever they're asked. But look, Saudi Arabia is one of the world's worst violators of human rights. It's a very oppressive government. For women, religious minorities, gay people, whatever sort of minority group you want. There's really not a lot of, you know, rule of law there that's, you know, codified in like we have in the Constitution. There's not a lot of rights that people have. And Saudi Arabia's been on the last few years a spending spree in sports. They've spent about $1.5 billion to sports wash their image. That's what the term they're using, sports washing. So they've got, you know, a Formula One race. They've got a big golf tournament. They've got a big horse race. They're trying to make their image look better to the world. But you know, we all know based on all of the human rights organizations and the reporting that's out of Saudi Arabia that the truth is the truth about their country and about their leadership. And I just think basically if these guys are going to go play on this golf tour, which for huge amounts of money, I mean, you're talking about potentially $40, $50 million, then you have to tell it like it is. They're working for the Saudi government if they take that money. And I just don't think they should do that. If they want to do it, I think they should lose their privileges of playing on the PGA Tour.
Do you think that the PGA gets the sense that if they don't talk about it and nobody really brings it up, that it'll just, I guess, get swept under the rug and nobody will notice? Or why has this not been made a bigger deal, in your opinion?
Well, because I think there's a difference between, you know, you go over there one time to play a tournament. These guys have done that. It's not a good look. I would be against it. There are some people who are against it, like Rory McIlroy and Paul Casey. There are others who said, I'm not going to take this money. I'm not going to go do this because it's not the right thing to do. But, you know, for 1 week, these guys get a couple questions, and then it sort of goes away. But if you are committing to go play on a tour, and not all the events would be in Saudi Arabia. Some of them would be in Europe. Some of them would be in North America, apparently. They'd be all over the world, but it's the money behind it is part of the Saudi government investment fund. Then to me, that's a lot harder to just sort of wave away. You can't just sort of say, yeah, you know, I'm not political, I'm not talking about it. If you're really one of their employees, as opposed to playing on the, you know, one time over there, I think it's a little bit different. And even then, you know, the PGA Tour's got to give them special exemptions to go play that one tournament because it's not part of the PGA Tour. It's not part of the European Tour anymore. So that's kind of where it's at. And this is going to be a big fight because these people have designs on building a golf tour that rivals the PGA Tour and basically competes with them for players. So it'll be interesting to see where they draw the line in the sand.
Who are the players that are playing over there? Just give everybody a sense of the top names that are going to be playing over there in Saudi Arabia.
Well, no. Well, first of all, nothing's official yet about this tour, and there have not been any sort of public commitments. But what we do know is that Greg Norman has been named sort of the commissioner of this or the head of it. He's the public face. Obviously, everybody knows Greg Norman if you followed golf, although it's been a long time since he was a relevant golfer, but he's still a big name in the business. But, you know, a lot of the big names have played there in their one, you know, their tournament the last couple of years. Like I said, Dustin Johnson's played it once before. Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. I'd have to look through the whole list of names, but, I mean, they've gotten guys to go over there to play in the Saudi International Golf Tournament, but, you know, they're competing, or I guess they have designs on trying to get the best of the best to play this tour. So it'll be interesting to see how far they get.
We're talking to USA Today columnist Dan Wolkin. You can go check out his column about the PGA players playing in Saudi Arabia over at usatoday.com. I did want to ask you about college football as well. There are some big games this weekend, or at least some interesting games, one of them being Michigan and Michigan State. Do either of those teams, in your opinion, have a real chance at making the college football playoff, or is it the Big Ten still go through Ohio State?
Yeah, I'd say right now, just based on how the teams are playing the last several weeks, Ohio State definitely looks to be head and shoulders above the Big Ten yet again, which, you know, is not surprising. They have the most talent in the league, and it's not particularly close. Michigan, you know, they recruit pretty well. You know, that they recruit okay. Penn State recruits well. Hold on a second. Sorry. I got one of those traffic alert things. You know, Penn State recruits well. Michigan recruits well. Michigan State's done a good job in the transfer portal, but the level of talent at Ohio State is just really above everybody else. And, yeah, they lost that game early to Oregon. It took them a while to iron some things out. But right now they're rolling. And the competition certainly gets tougher this weekend with Penn State, and they've still got to play Michigan, Michigan State, and the rest of them. But right now, I mean, I think Ohio State looks like a really safe bet to be the Big Ten champion.
It feels like college football fans have been waiting a while to get some parity in the college football playoff. Is this the year that it finally happens? You've got undefeated Cincinnati. I think they have a good chance to get in. Is this the year we finally see some different names, or are we going to look up in January and it's going to be the same four names we're kind of used to?
I think the narrative on parity is really just misguided, because I think there's a very good chance at the end of the day we're going to see a lot of the same teams we've seen before. Now, obviously, Clemson is out. You know, they're not going to make it for the first time in quite a long time. But Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Oregon, to me, are the five teams that are kind of going to be at the head of the discussion. And then you've got Cincinnati in there as well. And, you know, maybe the circumstances work out and they can sneak in somehow. But I think it's going to be hard to dislodge Georgia. It's going to be hard to dislodge an Ohio State. If Oregon keeps doing what they're doing, they've got the win at Ohio State that will probably get them in if they finish with one loss. So, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's undefeated. They have not looked great, but as of today, they're still undefeated. So I would not expect that you're going to have this sort of revolution that it looked like early on, maybe.
You're also based in Atlanta, so I got to ask you about the World Series, which there's a game tonight, Braves and Astros in Atlanta. What has been the response of the city? Obviously, the Braves have been a really beloved franchise. We've played on TBS for all those years. What's it like having the World Series back in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's certainly a large segment of people that are very excited about it. You know, I'm not sure that the Braves as an entity, you know, sort of captured the imagination of the city of Atlanta the way maybe some of the other teams do. But, you know, and I think some of that just comes from the fact that you know, they're actually not playing in the city limits of Atlanta. They're playing, you know, they moved out to the suburbs a couple years ago, and, you know, there's good and bad in that move. I think it'd be different if they were still playing downtown, you know, if they were still playing at Turner Field, where you could sort of, you know, hear it and see it and smell it, you know, but now people don't drive by that ballpark every day, you know, unless you're living out on that side of town. So it's a little bit different, although, you know, I think the Braves have been very good for a long time. People are kind of used to them being in the playoffs. But getting to the World Series definitely sparks, I think, more interest and excitement. And if they, I don't think people expect them to beat the Astros, to be honest with you. But if they happen to get in position over the next couple days where they could actually close this thing out, I think you would see a pretty big groundswell.
And the other topic surrounding the Braves, I saw Jeff Passan did a story on the Chop, which seems it is a controversial thing. Is that something that they should have gotten rid of a long time ago, that they should get rid of? What is your thoughts on that?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they should have gotten rid of it a long time ago. First of all, it's unnecessary. I do think that we need to remove Native American imagery and tradition from sports, because it is divisive and it is something that, the Braves basically have gone out and bought the blessing of, you know, of one Native American tribe. And then, you know, they use that, or they weaponize that to sort of say, yeah, well, you know, they said it's okay, so it's okay. Well, I think you go across the broad spectrum of Native American people in the United States, and a lot of them do find it offensive. And I think it's pretty easy to see why, because it caricatures their culture, and it characterizes their traditions. And so I wish they'd get rid of it. I wish they'd change the name. I mean, I as far as I'm concerned, what would be wrong with calling them the Atlanta Hammers? I mean, that to me is just sort of a natural extension of who they are, and Hank Aaron and the role he played in baseball, and the fact that he was part of that organization. So to me, that's the direction they should go. But, you know, it starts into this whole culture war thing, and the Braves seem to be willing to kind of just play footsie with it and then, you know, say, hey, we're not doing anything wrong, and baseball, MLB, Rob Manfred doesn't seem to really want to get involved in it either. So it's just going to kind of be this impasse that keeps coming up every time they do something significant.
Do you think there's any way they could keep the name Braves but change the imagery, or is it you think it's too late to do anything like that?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of different things you could do. It's just basically what do you want to do? You know, what do you feel like is the right thing? And, you know, there have been people who've said, just drop the S, just call them the Atlanta Brave. And that takes on a whole different connotation that is basically, you know, honoring sort of the tradition of the name with the franchise, but sort of giving it a different twist. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could approach this story, but it's unfortunate that it comes up every time and will come up. I mean, if they get to the World Series, you know, five more times in the next decade, it's going to come up five more times until they decide to do something about it, or until people demand they do something about it. So it's just kind of where we are with it. And the other part about it is, to me, is there will be a lot of people that just sort of root against the organization, root against the franchise based on that. And really, it's got nothing to do with the players. The players aren't the ones who choose the name or have anything to do with the name or these traditions. You know, they're just playing. So that's kind of the way I feel about it. And, you know, it's tiresome, but it's kind of what you have to deal with these days.
Dan Wolkin joins the show every single Friday. We appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about the World Series with you again next week. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Sounds good, man. See you.
Well, do you have a prediction on the game tonight, Bennett? World Series? Any thoughts? Any at all?
Go Braves. I think Braves.
Go Braves.
Yeah. I think Braves tonight.
I think the world wants the Braves, so I'll have my eye
too.
On that. I might watch that tonight.
It's not a huge. It's not a massive sports night, so yeah, that's.
It's a good one. We got a couple NBA games.
Yeah.
Probably the thing that will be on my television tonight. All right, when we come back, we'll do four stories at 4:44. We have a whole NFL slate to go through, as well as some Tigers basketball news. Penny Hardaway had a press conference earlier today. This is Drew Hill filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Hit a wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and
welcome
try to
back.
Hide
Drew
your
Hill
head.
Filling in for Gary Parrish on 92.9 FM ESPN. We got a big slate of NFL games, Bennett, this weekend. Let's do four stories at 4:44.
Four stories at 4:44. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee, covering your smile. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Are you surprised that your Tennessee Titans are 2.5-point underdogs at the Indianapolis Colts?
No. This is always a tough one for the Titans. No Julio Jones tomorrow. I saw that. I don't know.
I think that they're just picking games to rest him so that they can maybe have him for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going on here.
I mean, I think so too, and I've been saying that, but like, man, I it's hard to get on board with like a part-time player. That's not working for me too much. So
Colts have it going. They have it rolling a little
bit.
They look pretty good.
Yeah, they're 3-4 after a slow start. Carson Wentz looks like he might be healthy now. The Titans are going to have to bring that same effort that they did these past two games, man. Like, you can't just go in looking at the record and assume that you're better than these guys because they're playing well right now. I'm not very optimistic. I'm just going to be honest.
You said that about the Grizzlies yesterday, too.
I know. It's just this is always a struggle for them. The good thing is the Titans already beat them once this season, so it won't be that bad if you lose this game. So I'm a little pessimistic, but they've beaten two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the past 2 weeks, so I'll go ahead and give them the benefit of the doubt. I think I think the Titans will win.
I got a wild NFL prediction. I think the Lions are getting their first win of the season this weekend home against the Eagles.
I think so, too. The Eagles are teetering, right? Like
the Lions looked like they were headed in the right direction last week against the Rams. Now they come home, play the Eagles. They're 2.5 point or 3.5 point underdogs, excuse me. Outside of your Titans and Colts game, it feels like another lopsided weekend. Like, can I interest you in Jaguars Seahawks?
No.
Interest you in Bengals Jets? Can I interest you in Dolphins Bills?
Nope.
Panthers Falcons? Bears Niners? Like, none. The other good team, the Rams, is against the Texans.
The slate is rough. I think Saints Buccaneers will be a good one in the afternoon. I mean, I don't know if it'll be a good game, but it's an exciting matchup. Cowboys Vikings on Sunday night is kind of fun.
That might be really high scoring.
Well, Dak might not play, they're saying. Dak's questionable heading into this one.
I think he'll play.
I don't know. Mike McCarthy today did not sound like super optimistic.
I thought he threw earlier this week and he was
interesting. He did, when in the press conference, McCarthy was like, this is we're looking week to week. Not that Dak is week to week. He says we're taking this situation like as week to week with him. I don't know. It just his wording just didn't make me feel too optimistic about Dak's status. They'll need him. I mean, the Vikings aren't bad. They're 3-3, but they're actually pretty decent. They've got a good defense this year.
And they've got some weapons on offense. Justin Jefferson's
he's
great.
Awesome.
Kirk Cousins,
Thielen's
you never know
there.
What you're going to get primetime Kirk Cousins.
I think, what is he? He's like 0-10 all-time in primetime games.
It's bad. It's really I don't know the exact stat, but I know it's not good. The only other game on the slate that I'm kind of interested in is Chargers and Patriots. The Patriots have looked pretty good. They blew out the Jets. The Chargers are coming off a bye, I believe.
And a bad loss. I mean, they got destroyed by the Ravens. So
it's going to, that game could really determine how you feel. Those feel like fringe playoff teams, like teams that maybe if they get in the playoffs could upset somebody. Mac Jones has looked pretty good for the Patriots. The rookie of the year race is kind of interesting, too.
Because
if Mac Jones gets the Patriots into the playoffs, you've also got Jamar Chase, who's setting the world on fire right now for the Bengals. So rookie of the year race could end up being pretty close at the end of the season.
Yeah, Steelers-Browns, that's another one that's fun. Baker's going to be back for that one. That'll be
That's surprising to me. I thought he was going to be done for the year.
I did, too. He's going to play through the shoulder injury and I guess get surgery in the offseason. But that'll be a good one. I told you yesterday in Dinner to Go, I cannot bet against the Grizzlies because it's just not in my nature.
I was hoping you weren't going to bring it up.
And two, I will not bet against Aaron Rodgers in prime time ever. I'm never doing it.
Can we talk about AJ Green?
What happened?
What are you doing, dude?
What happened there?
Like,
he just stopped playing.
He just stopped playing. Like he quit.
Okay,
look,
there's
been several times where AJ Green has quit on a season, and I've never seen him quit in a game like that, especially at the very end.
Like, clearly he did not think the ball was coming his direction at all. Right?
There's 14 seconds left in the game. You have no timeouts left. You got to know that the ball's going to be in the air. What are you doing, dude?
Yeah, I mean, I just, even if you know that the play that's drawn up, that the ball's not coming to you, you still never know what's going to happen, right? Like, your quarterback, he could be scrambling. Like, you at least got to turn your head around to see what's happening behind you.
I felt bad for Kyler Murray because the throw wasn't even bad. It was a good throw. If he's looking, he's got the position on him. That's probably a touchdown, and the Cardinals win the game.
He's not even
paying attention.
Even if it's not a touchdown, like, you
kick the field goal.
There's no interception. Like, the interception only happened because he was not paying attention. That's it.
So, I wonder what those conversations were like.
I don't know.
Were they pick him up? You'll get him next time, AJ? Or were they, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, what are you doing? I don't know. But no, and the thing is like I said, I don't bet against Aaron Rodgers in primetime. It wasn't even a good Aaron Rodgers game. It was all about their running backs.
Which was also surprising to me. Maybe missing J.J. Watt hurt the Cardinals more than we thought, but I didn't expect Green Bay to be able to run all over them the way that they did because that defensive line is not bad for the Cardinals.
No, it's not. It's not. I saw Rodgers after the game say we'll see in the playoffs to Kyler Murray. That was like the clip that they had of those two when they saw each other after the game. I think the Cardinals will be fine. losing J.J. Watt was big, but I do think that once the season's said and done, I think those two teams are going to be right at the top of the NFC.
Well, that's good to know that Aaron Rodgers is such a nice guy saying that to Kyler Murray. I wish he said more nice things about my team instead of just saying that he owns them all the time.
Yeah.
Story number two.
We got a big slate of college football as well. We did talk to Dan Wolken about it in the last segment, but I think the big game of the weekend is Michigan and Michigan State, two undefeated teams, 7-0. Big noon kickoff, although it's 11 o'clock Central Time on Fox. Michigan is a 4-point favorite. It's going to be an interesting game. There's been some classics between these two teams. I'm with Dan. I don't think there's any way either of these two teams are going to get past Ohio State. They had that hiccup earlier in the season when they played Oregon. I think if they played Oregon again, it'd be a different story. I'm not really a believer in Michigan or Michigan State, to be honest. But I will be watching the game because I do expect it to be a close one. That one's at Michigan State. I think if it was at Michigan, Michigan might be more than a touchdown favorite, but instead they go on the road and they're 4-point favorites against Sparty.
The slate isn't bad this weekend. Ole Miss Auburn's fun. I think Georgia's going to destroy Florida, but it's still.
I was going to say, any chance?
Florida.
I'm just waiting for a college football team to make Georgia score.
Right.
Make them score. And it's not like their defense is great. Excellent. But as good as defense as that is, there are some teams in college football that Georgia would play where they would at least have to score 24 points, 28 points. Can Florida be that team? I'm not so sure.
You got Ohio State, Penn State. Penn State coming off that 9 overtime loss to Illinois, so that kind of takes a little bit of the air out of that game. Mississippi State, Kentucky, that's low-key kind of fun.
Yeah, that's an interesting. Kentucky can score. Mississippi State just blew out Vanderbilt, which doesn't mean anything to me.
Right.
But, yeah, that's interesting. Just because the idea that Kentucky might be able to make a New Year's Six bowl game, and they might if they finish second in the East behind Georgia.
Yeah.
They're going to have to win out to do that, and this is one of the more challenging games left on their schedule. They got Mississippi State, Tennessee left, and Louisville at the end of the year. If they win those three, you might see Kentucky football in a New Year's Six game.
You know, depending on who wins and loses this weekend inside the top 25, I know the season is derailed, obviously, for the Memphis Tigers, but SMU's playing Houston. It's on the road. SMU's number 19 right now. If they win that game, there's a chance. I don't think they'll jump that high just because they're an American team, but there's a possibility a top 10 team could be coming into the Liberty Bowl next weekend.
That might be fun.
I doubt it'll happen because a lot of teams would have to lose, ranked teams would have to lose for them to jump that high, but it is a road game against a pretty solid team, so it's a good win on SMU's resume. I think they'll jump.
SMU to win just because I want to see an SMU-Cincinnati showdown. That's like a big-time ranked matchup. Just for those purposes, to get some hype around a potential game between those two. That's why I want SMU to keep winning. The other one of local interest that we haven't mentioned yet is Ole Miss going to Auburn to play Auburn.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is on a loop.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.